This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Andy Zinke, Youth Empowerment Program, checking out with Gringo. In-kind support comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected, 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going pretty well. The electrons are flowing today.
All right. Do you have Alexa at your house?
No, I do not.
That's right. You don't have any spy devices in your house, right?
No, I do not.
Nothing's listening to you?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm somewhat convinced or their algorithms have gotten far too good. I'm not sure which.
Okay.
But the ads that get played on my Roku seem to
eerily pertinent
to me. So
okay.
So I don't know.
Nice.
So I'm not sure if my tablet or my phone or some other listening device is going in there and spreading the word.
Huh. That's interesting.
So I need to lock all that down and see if I can isolate where that's coming from.
Have you heard about the strange unprompted laughter coming from the Alexa devices?
No.
Yes, I guess. So over the past few days, users with Alexa-enabled devices have reported hearing strange, unprompted laughter. Amazon responded to the creepiness today in a statement to The Verge saying, "We're aware of this and working to fix it." So, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I've kind of been tempted to get a Google Assistant and use it as an actual assistant on my work desk.
Yeah.
So, but...
I got to say, as soon as we'll get back to the story here in just a second, but it's like I am yet to figure out how, like, say, for instance, I have most of my trouble with Siri creating new appointments, and I'll say, and I've tried phrasing it any number of different ways, but it always ends up in my calendar as "new appointment" is the title of it. And then when I go in, and maybe one of our callers has some tips for me on this, they can tell us, what I'm doing wrong. So, but I'll basically go, "Siri, change the appointment at 10 o'clock tomorrow to read appointment with Jeff Davidson," for instance. And she'll come and say, "Do you want to create a new appointment with Jeff Davidson for tomorrow?" And so it's like I've been unable. So when I think about using Siri to enter something into my calendar, I just don't want to go. Huh. It shouldn't take three steps.
Yeah. I use the OK Google.
Okay.
Part of it. And
all right.
I say OK Google, and then I say appointment 10 a.m. tomorrow, Louis the Computer Guy. And then away we go.
Okay. All right.
So
I guess I should try that with Siri and see.
OK Google. Appointment, Louis the Computer Guy, 10 a.m. tomorrow. Yes. And so the title says Louis the Computer Guy.
Okay. Saving event. All right.
So there you go.
So all right, let's try it over here.
See how that goes.
Siri, new appointment with Matt McBrayer at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay. I set up your appointment for tomorrow. Shall I schedule it?
Yes. Okay, now we'll go to the calendar and see what it says.
All right. So you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Call in with your calendaring questions, 963-2976.
Yeah, I mean, where else can you, listen to two guys play with their smartphones for 25 minutes who aren't getting paid? Okay, well, the appointment's on my calendar, but you know what it's called?
New title?
Appointment.
Have you tried, I think meeting also works on Google. Have you tried that one, that phrasing?
Hmm. Okay. Well, let's try it.
All right.
New meeting with Matt McBrayer tomorrow at 11.
Okay. I set up your meeting for tomorrow. Shall I schedule it?
Yes.
Your meeting with Matt McBrayer is scheduled for 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay. So then what does it say in the calendaring setup?
You want to guess?
Appointment?
Meeting.
Hmm.
So, all right. So apparently I'm missing something.
Yeah, I don't know what the... So what the phrasing needs to be then.
This may be one of those instances where Google is superior to Siri, or one of the many. I don't, you know, as you guys would, you Google lovers would say. So
I wouldn't go that far.
So here's the rest of the story. Later on in the day, Amazon said its planned fix will involve disabling the phrase Alexa, comma, laugh, and changing the command to Alexa, can you laugh? The company says the latter phrase is less likely to have false positives. So I guess people are saying something that sounds like they're saying, Alexa, laugh. And Alexa's like,
and somebody listening just had Alexa laugh at them.
Yeah. So, but according to my brother, who kind of turned me on to this story, it sounds like the laugh is almost taken straight from the Beavis and Butthead playbook, you know? So... Which, I mean, it just gets really creepy really fast there.
Totally.
So, anyway, so there's one little story. Let's see. The current price of Bitcoin.
All right.
Is $9,111. And so I am officially in the hole.
Again.
On this deal. That we're just going to do this every week.
All right. So should we? Yeah. So I need to find an investment opportunity and.
Exactly.
And we can, and I'll
yeah,
like,
we'll have dueling. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So maybe you should get some Dogecoin.
Yeah. Right? I don't know. Yeah. I was looking at some Elysium.
Elysium?
Yeah. Yeah. Lithium or whatever. I can't remember. Whatever.
Lithium coins.
Well, there's Litecoin.
They're just a little mellower than the Bitcoins, right?
Like, way mellower.
Hey, man, I'm in on Lithium coin. So,
and it wouldn't surprise me if there's actually a lithium coin out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. So, I guess Toys R Us is in the news. Have you heard that?
I haven't seen that one, no.
It's a report suggesting that Toys R Us and its 800 remaining stores may not be long for this retail world. Arrived this for many this weekend like a Lego stuck in the bottom of a barefoot. Fans of the longtime chain suggested via social media that a piece of their childhood would die along with the iconic brand. They filed for Chapter 11. And, of course, they're blaming online shopping for it. So, it's, you know, I don't know. I was debating today, and I'd be interested to, you know, see if our listeners have anything to weigh in on this as well, that, you know, it's really hard for me to go out and find my favorite brand of socks. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So what do you do when you can't find your favorite brand of socks? Do you just like go without socks, or do you buy the, like, cause if I wear super synthetic socks, my feet just like fall apart. And so what do? You get on Amazon and you type in the brand name of your favorite socks and you click buy. And 2 days later you got your socks. So, I mean, what's the answer to that? You know, I would rather spend my money locally, but at the same time, I'm not going to wear crappy socks just to spend money locally. You know, it's you basically, you know, I'm in it for me. What can I say?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Or the other option is to, if you know that one of the local retailers carries that brand and you have a specific type of sock that you want, you need to wait a week and, you know, let them order it. I do that often with, tools. So
yeah.
I find the tool I'm looking for, and then I go on their website, find the local distributor, and I'll call them up and say, hey, I need such and such tool. And they'll say, okay, that'll be, you know, whatever the price is, $200-$300. And, you know, they're usually pretty competitive with online. I've been pleasantly surprised in that case.
Yeah. See, the problem is I bought like a whole pallet of socks at Costco about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just finally running out, you know? And so it's,
yeah, anyway. My favorite socks got discontinued too. I know how you feel.
Yeah. Well, Costco is, I don't know that I've suffered more disappointment at the hands of Costco, you know, in the course of, since they came to town, you know, because I'll get completely hooked on a product and it'll be there for 2 or 3, 4, 5 shopping trips. And then I come back and it's like, oh yeah, we don't have that anymore. Yeah. And I'm just like, where can I get it? You know,
you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Give us a call.
Yeah.
Are your pads not synchronizing with your pods?
Always a problem.
Your phones not synchronizing with your iCloud? Or are you just generally having a cloudy day? And yeah.
Well, it's pretty nice out, though.
It is. It's
supposed to warm up and then get cold again, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. So what you been up to?
Preparing my corporate filings.
Yeah.
Since they're due on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So they're due a month before the regular taxes.
For some people.
Yep. For some people. Unless you want to file.
It's not filing day. It's extension day is what it's called.
Okay.
It's the proper name for it.
Extension day.
So you know.
All right.
Ask any accountant. He'll tell you.
No, I'm going to try to get it finished.
Yeah.
Try to get it done.
A friend of mine who's an accountant said that if everybody that he does work for actually wanted to get all their taxes filed, you know, if taxes filed rather than doing extensions, he would be in his grave. It's just like, it wouldn't happen.
Just,
you know?
Yeah, 80
it's
hours.
It's not possible. You know?
Yeah, you'd be doing 160 hours a week or something.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how they get kind of residual ongoing business for at least another half a year. You know,
oh, that's nice.
They just kind of trickle in the CPAs that just do taxes. So, yeah. So I saw that Jeff Bezos from Amazon is getting into. He's working on launching his own satellite.
Seems like a popular business to be in. Maybe it looks like it might be down to $1,000 a pound. Maybe I should put together a satellite.
Yeah. How many pounds would your satellite weigh?
Oh, it'd probably be like $25,000 or $30,000 to launch it then.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. That's like the size of a school bus, dude. Is that how big it's going to be?
No, that'd be like 5 kilograms.
5 kilograms.
10 pounds.
Okay.
Give or take. 12.
All right. And you said it was how much? $1,000 a pound?
About $1,000 a pound, which is down from 10,000, you know, 10 years mm-hmm. ago or so.
Okay.
Got it. We'll see how SpaceX keeps with the reusable rockets and everything.
Wow. Well, you know, I think it's a really smart idea, you know, because, I mean, what better way to just completely take over the world than to have your own, you know, satellite delivery? Because that's probably one of the biggest overhead expenses that media distribution companies endure. You know, it's probably the cost of, you know.
Well, and they're talking about doing
communications.
They're talking about doing CubeSats, which are, you know, small little, you know, 1 square foot or smaller, or 1 cubic foot or smaller things that stay. Then they stay up for, you know, a year, 18 months or something like that. And they're a couple hundred miles above the Earth as opposed to 22,000 miles above the Earth, like a geosynchronous system.
So you could design your own CubeSat.
That might be well, the 3D printer will have a go at it.
I'm just trying to think how Geek Speak can sponsor this, you know. Should we do a Kickstarter? You know,
yeah.
For Geekspeed to launch their own CubeSat, and once it's up there, what would it do? That's the question.
We could do like a Sputnik thing, just beeps.
Yeah,
that'd be easy.
A little light show.
Yeah, a little light show.
And then you could have like a remote control for it, or we could each have a remote control.
Yeah,
and, you know, have competitions.
Yes, yeah, somebody was all. I'm trying to think. One of the smaller rocket companies had put up a basically a really shiny object that's going to stay up there for like 18 months, and some of the scientists were kind of mad that there's going to be a really reflective satellite up there temporarily.
Huh.
Because it will interfere with some of their readings if it passes over while they're doing a long exposure from one of the big.
Oh, huh. Well, so, that's why they made Photoshop, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you're talking about like time-lapse photography or.
Well, long exposure photography.
Okay,
so
got it.
The shutter stays open for, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, depending on what they're doing.
Got it. Okay.
And in that time, the little shiny object will go across and maybe obscure what they're studying.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I have to go look at that one was 3 or 4 weeks ago. So.
All right. Well, we've got about another 10 minutes here. If any of our listeners are having some tech problems, I know that they're having tech problems. It's whether
yeah, the time changed, so you got to check all your check yeah, everything
exactly. And so 970-963-2976, give us a call. We will help you out, and we'll pick up the tab.
Yeah.
And what, I mean, how many people would say that? How many people you hear say that on any given day? It's like, I'll help you with your tech for free. So,
yeah.
It's, and so let's see.
So have you heard anything about net neutrality recently?
Oh, you were kind of talking about a little story about how the carnage has begun. That Xfinity is blocking.
Well, it looked like they blocked it on March 1st and then it came back March 2nd, but it was just a an email provider. So
what, it was like a test blocking? Or
maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just a glitch in the
just to kind of see what
the filtering,
what
but,
people would say.
But
you know?
I don't really want my internet filtered. Just, I'll do that myself.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about this email service that they blocked.
So it looks like it's a German encrypted email service. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Tutat Noir.
Okay.
Anyway, if some
is
people
it
were
C3PO,
or maybe
R2D2. Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, it's an encrypted email service similar to Proton Mail, which is one I've been looking at and testing. It's from CERN.
Okay.
But basically, for some reason, on March 1st, anybody on the Comcast network could not route to the domain name for the email service.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of hoopla in there about, you know, was that a conscious decision by someone to block that because we don't have net neutrality, or, you know, maybe I would mm-hmm. just say, you know, there was a misconfiguration somewhere and there wasn't a route, but it could go either way. We don't mm-hmm. know.
We'll you know, if they're going to block anybody, just block North Korea. I mean, just,
yeah, all 28 websites.
I mean, that's how you punish people, is you turn off their internet. If Kim Jong-un can't get his Netflix, he'll come right around. Trust me. It's like, it's, you know,
or his Emmentaler.
Was he ordering Emmentaler online?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah? He's a big fan of
Swiss cheese, yeah.
Cheese fondue?
I'm not sure about the fondue part, but okay. The cheese.
That's one of the things you can make out of it. I know yes. that. So, yeah. Well, that's very interesting. It's, anyway, yeah, I just think they should just shut those guys off, you know? And, shoot, I had another thought of something to talk about. But, so as far as encrypted mail goes, you said you've been test driving some encrypted mail services?
Yeah, so it has PGP built in by default, and then mm-hmm. all of the...
Which stands for pretty good privacy.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
And so it has that built in, so you can give your public... So it'll generate a public-private key pair for you, and you can give your public key to whoever you'd like, and mm-hmm. and they can send you email. And actually, if you go to my Facebook page, you can see one of my email addresses, public keys, and it's available there.
Okay, got it.
So anyway, okay. But
that sounds like you got to be pretty geeky to use it.
A little bit. You have to have another person who's willing to set up PGP in a way that you can share your public keys and mm-hmm. decrypt everything.
Okay,
and it also works in reverse, where if you have your public key available, and you're the only one who has your private key, you can make an email and sign it with your private key, and it's decryptable with your public key so that you can prove mm-hmm. that you sent that email.
Got it. So, you know, the first thing that crossed my mind is you don't, like, send one of these off that says, hey, you want to come over for dinner tonight at, like, 3 p.m, because by the time the guy's done decrypting it, it's already dessert time, right?
Well, as long as it's already set up in advance, it should be fairly quick.
Okay.
And if you're doing it from Proton Mail to Proton Mail, I think uh-huh. I think they've made it transparent, but I'd have to test mm-hmm. that.
Okay. I'll have to play around with that a little bit. So, yeah, actually the discussion of encryption was kind of brought up a thought. So have you dealt with PCI compliance much, Matt?
Enough to know that it's a real pain in the butt.
Got it.
You know, you some of my clients have to do PCI compliance,
mm-hmm.
and it's processor card industry or something like that.
Yeah. And bottom line is the more expensive card processing services are using their own encrypted security system that doesn't require PCI compliance, or the system is, it's kind of baked into the cake, as they say, you know.
Yeah.
So like Square or
you go to their portal,
Venmo, things like that. You can transmit money back and forth. You don't, Venmo's never going to pop their head up and say, hey, we noticed that your network that you're like Venmoing money off of is not PCI compliant. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And PayPal as well. So those are, you know, probably three of the most popular vehicles that people use to, you know, send money back and forth, which I got to say, Venmo is, I think, just, do you use Venmo at all?
No, I haven't.
You know, it's very cool, you know, very cool setup and real easy to use. And, but anyway, there's, you do it all through an app on your phone,
mm-hmm.
and, you just, you know, link the app to your bank account and do a couple test transactions where, you know, you just basically come back and say it was 12 cents or it was 17 cents or, you know, whatever. And they go, okay, I guess it's his bank account. So they link it, and you, when somebody Venmos you money, you can transfer it over to your bank account within a day, you know. So anyway, but anyway, I have had some accounts come up PCI non-compliant.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about PCI compliance people is they've always got their ear to the ground looking for new security threats. So you can, if you're using a credit card company that requires PCI compliance, you can be completely compliant on one test, you know, on one milepost,
yep.
and then 3 months can go by and you haven't made any changes to your network and you'll fail,
mm-hmm.
you know, which basically means they found a new hole. And that's so
when I had one of I did run one recently for my one of my clients, and it ran through and checked the PST file, and it found a bunch of people who had emailed their credit card information to the client for them to process it.
Really?
Yeah.
I have never heard of such a thing. Everything, all the scanning tools that I've used have just been purely infrastructure, just like checking your firewall.
Yeah. Basically. No, this was when you run inside of the network and it tests a bunch of stuff, and it went through the PST file, mm-hmm. and said, hey, there's all these stuff that looks like credit card information in your PST file. Go in there and delete it.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, I thought was great because...
Yeah, that's kind of handy.
It's sending your credit card information through a non-encrypted email is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know... Mm-hmm. Hopefully everything's encrypted from your endpoint through the servers and to where it gets to you. But that's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that is transmitted in an encrypted form between the servers. So you just... consider it a postcard.
No, I agree. And, you know, the workaround that I've used, you know, because there have been situations where I've needed to exchange that type of information with somebody, or they needed to exchange it with me, is that I absolutely insist that half the information gets transmitted using a completely different mode of transmission, you know. So basically they'll send half of it via email and the other half via text message or via phone call or a voicemail or, you know, whatever. And which I'm sure, you know, if
somebody's really after you, they're going to get that information.
Yeah.
But that's going to make it hard.
But it makes that a heck of a lot easier, you know, or a heck of a lot safer, you know, that way. But anyway, so what I was going to say is that don't be surprised if, you know, I just had one come up and a stock DSL modem from CenturyLink failed.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no firmware updates available to fix the problem. And for those of you that are really into the geek stuff, it's basically called the SYN-FIN vulnerability. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So basically what SYN and FIN are is they're flags that travel on TCP packets. And the FIN, was it the SYN packet requests opening of a port, and the FIN packet requests closure of the port. And basically it can create a flood, these SYN-FIN packets will basically overload a router very easily if they get a bunch of them. So, and basically you got to get a router that just doesn't listen to those flags, is what it is.
Yeah.
So anyway, You know what that music means.
Yep. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thanks a lot for running the board, Matt.
Absolutely.
Everybody have a good week.
And we'll catch you next Monday.